Crump and Fiora. What's up, bitches and bitchettes? Friends and enemies, I should muffle that. Much like a woman, I should muffle that.
You can scream and shout with all your might.
You can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a motherfucking safe space.
Dig in your heels and hold on tight.
You can shove your opinions up your ass, so either Trump and Fiora's cock is something to keep it company. Don't forget, my friends and my enemies, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility, you are wrong, and I am right. You can go fuck yourself. Yes, you can. You can do that. You can do many, many things. You can wear a magic cloth over your face if you want to and think that it's going to protect you from the virus. You can do whatever the hell you need to do to help you sleep at night. But meanwhile, this right here is Stating the Obvious Podcast, and it is the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile my intellect comes in on, destroys motherfucking status. All around the world, friends and enemies, all around the world. Much like the Wuhan virus, there's no place you can hide. You can't get away from it. You can wear some magic cloth over your face, but you cannot escape the cruise missile of my intellect. Especially if you're sitting around going, but great one, but how will I get the roads? The roads, great one. Where did the roads come from? All right, let's get cracking here. Today is the 11th of May. 11th of May in the year of our Lord and Savior, the Trump and Fuhrer, 2020. It's an election year. You know, I guess maybe I could be a little bit thankful for the Wuhan virus, because if it wasn't for this, God, we'd be hearing about the fucking election. I haven't heard anything about the election. Apparently, the Democrats are going to run Biden. I mean, that's pretty hilarious. I'm catching up on the Dick Show. I'm caught up. I'm suddenly mostly caught up on podcasts. I'm mostly caught up, except for maybe like the last week, on Goddamn Bacon, except I think he's still putting multiple files on a post. So, because the last I looked, he was still doing that. And thus, that means I've missed a bunch of episodes that I didn't know about, because the RSS thing only downloads the first one. But, you know, we got to work Bacon. We got to work with him one step at a time. You know, eventually one day I'm going to teach all of these people, and I mean all of them, how to use MP3 tags. All of them. Like, the only one who's figured out how to name his files correctly is Adam Piggott. Nobody else, none of them, TJ, Clary, Bacon, Servi, none of these guys can fucking name their podcast files consistently. And certainly none of them have worked their way up to doing tags on the MP3 files. So we got a long, long way to go. And see, this is the problem. This is the problem in the great one's life. We're going to talk about some of the problems in the great one's life today, because today we're going to talk about the great one's life. This is the problem, guys. How am I supposed to fly light? And they all said, well, but we have to have a government, otherwise there'd be no roads. Well, yes, you're right. As long as we live in a civilization where nobody can figure out how to tag their fucking MP3 files, because it's so massively complicated, you know, right click, open MP3 tag, type in the fucking name of your podcast, hit save. It's so massively complex. Much like roads, if it wasn't for the government, there would be no MP3 tags. MP3 tags are so fucking complicated that just like flat places on the ground, they can't possibly exist without the government. So I don't know how I'm supposed to fucking fly like an eagle when I'm surrounded by podcasters who can't consistently name their fucking files and put tags on things. But this is the burden that I face. This is the fucking burden. Maybe we'll talk. God, see, now earlier today I was pissed off. And I thought, oh, I'm in a good mood now. This is the right time to podcast. It's about one. Oh, God damn. It's almost 1400. This day has flown by because I have been, despite the best efforts of the cosmos to fuck me over at every opportunity, I have made some fucking progress today. Getting some stuff done. Among other things, I've started on a project that I've been wanting to start on for a while. And this podcast really is just going to be me talking mostly about myself. It will be some screaming about being surrounded by incompetent people. And I don't mean other podcasters. I mean actual true incompetent people. But anyway, I am pretty much completely caught up on Frank Servi, Goddamn Bacon, Adam Piggott, TJ Martinell. I just blew through like the last seven episodes of TJ's podcast, including the one where he talks about his article he wrote that over at Terra House Magazine that I've referenced umpteen times already about how the dystopian genre is dead. And I'm probably going to put that in my other people's podcast thing that I'm going to be setting up when I get around to it, because that's something I'm going to do on the website. I haven't got to yet because I have a shit ton of fucking projects going on. Anyhow, so I went through this little lull the last 3 days. I've just mostly been fucking worthless when it comes to getting anything done. Like, if I look back in the last 3 days, I really haven't accomplished anything that I can point to and say, hey, look, I fucking did that. You know, I've scratched a few things off the list and I did some stuff. I wasn't like in a coma the whole time. But anyhow, you know, in the tradition is not the right word because it's not a tradition yet. In the spirit of the Wuhan productivity plan, right? In the spirit of, okay, I've got all of this time that I'm just, the money printer is going brrr, and the government's giving me all of this money since they've destroyed my fucking job. Thanks a lot, cocksuckers. And, you know, we're not having the revolution because there's still not enough people with ball sacks large enough to start shooting politicians. So I'm stuck in this fucking limbo between the revolution and life as it was. So, okay, I need to get shit done. Let me make use of this. And about the last 3 days, I didn't really get anything done. Today, I'm making some good progress. One of the projects I've wanted to do is photographing the Supergirl statues. Because number one, I'm going to put them on the website so that you guys can see them because I know you really give a shit. But number two, I like doing macro slash, you know, still life slash product photography. I like taking pictures of cute girls, obviously, but cute girls don't follow directions very well. And they don't show up when they're supposed to. Whereas like the Supergirl statues, they're right here. If I tell Supergirl, okay, stand there, she stays there. I mean, my God, she just, I'm like, don't move. And she doesn't move. I'm like, why can't models do that? My favorite thing working with models, they'll be like moving, right? They'll be doing stuff, whatever. I'll say, okay, freeze. And they'll keep moving. Or we'll take a shot. I'll be like, okay. And I take the shot and say, okay, don't move. And she'll move. I'm like, what are you doing? Did I just say don't move? I mean, do you realize that a dog understand stay. You can tell a dog stay and the dog will fucking stay. A fucking 17-year-old girl can't fucking stay to save her life. But in 1 year, she'll be allowed to vote because she'll have metabolized oxygen into carbon dioxide for 18 years. But I enjoy taking small objects doing lighting on them and taking shots of them and just making it look, it's fun. It's relaxing. It's fun. That's why I spent about an hour this morning screaming and ripping my hair out and being pissed off because I have an entire closet that is devoted to the photography gear. An entire closet. Nothing but photography gear. Don't take up photography as a hobby if you're a fucking minimalist. Okay? The amount of fucking photography gear that I have. I mean, this is like... I have to have an entire fucking closet just for this shit. That's how much there is. So some fucking minimalist I am. Don't take up photography if you want to be a minimalist. Oh, God. So I'm going through the photography gear, trying to find the stuff I need. I haven't used the shit in so long, I've forgotten what I have. Then I remembered, oh, I've got the one lighting stand that goes across and I could do the downlight with, because I bought it, you know, it's not even a year old. I've barely even used it. Well, no, actually, it's more than a year old. I used it on a couple of shoots, I think. Maybe a couple of years old. But anyhow, so I'm trying to find stuff and I'm trying to remember, wait, how the hell does this go together? And it's just pain in the ass. So anyway, I finally got everything set up and I have to remind myself, no, great one, you enjoy this. This is fun, remember? As I'm like foaming at the mouth and getting pissed off. But now that everything's set up, and by everything, so I mean, you got your seamless white paper. Oh my God, it's the biggest pain in the ass. You know something? You know what I hate even more than the girls, the models who don't pay attention? Seamless white paper. You know what that is, where you see the picture of somebody and the background's all white? That's done with seamless white paper. It's just a big, giant fucking roll of paper. And you roll the paper out and you hang it in the air and it makes a seamless white background. Oh my God. Because it always wants to roll back up and you get the tiniest little speck of dirt on it. See, the problem with the camera, and this is also becoming very obvious as I'm photographing the Supergirl statues, the problem with the camera is good cameras magnify the fucking flaws. Like I take, you know, and this is, it's all the time, it's everything. I take pictures and they look great, and then I put it in the fucking software editing shit and I look at it, and you can see like the hair that's across the model's nose or whatever, and you can see all the fucking flaws. With the Supergirl statues, I mean, they look fine to the naked eye, but then I look at the pictures and you can see the flaws in the paint job and just all of this stuff. It enhances everything. And so you got this white seamless background and the tiniest little fucking smudge turns into this giant fucking black blot. It's like, God damn it. So the shit's got to be relatively clean. I mean, you can overexpose the fuck out of it post-processing and stuff. But my policy is do as little post-processing as possible because I don't want to fuck around having to fix photos. So the white seamless, I get the white seamless set up on the tabletop because obviously none of the statues are full-size humans. It's a scale down. And I got the overhead light, and I got the front/side light, and I got the camera set up, and now everything's running smooth, and now I'm having a good time. Now you sit Supergirl there, and you take some picture, and you check the exposure, and all right, then you look at the composition, you take some different angles, and it's just fun. It's just having a good time. I'm sitting down, I'll edit the pictures, make them look sexy. Put them on the website. You guys will ignore them because none of you give a shit. But I don't care. I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing it for me. Everything's going to be great. So I'm making good progress on that. I'm feeling good. What I have not even done yet today is my Wuhan productivity plan. Got up this morning and did my meditation as normal. I had one day where I skipped the meditation and the Wuhan plan because I just wanted to fuck off for a day. Other than that, I've been doing the meditation now for however long since I started doing the meditation thing. And so yeah, I still haven't done the Wuhan plan because I just jumped right into stuff, started getting things going. Other stuff that's going on that I want to talk about. In no particular order, and I got a list here somewhere. Here we go, in no particular order. So the weight room here at the place where I live has finally been opened up again. Thank fucking God. As I said, I have my own weights, but I don't have a bench press bench or anything like that. So I've been able to do some kind of weightlifting while it was closed. And of course, all the gyms are closed. I don't know what's at this point, I don't know here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins what's opening up again quite yet and what isn't. So I don't know if gyms are open, but I am pretty sure that the gym I go to is not open. So I still don't have a gym to go to as far as leaving the complex where I live. But our weight room here at kind of feels like a complex sometimes. It's not that bad, but yeah. Anyway, living around other people. The weight room is now open again, thank God, so I can go in there and do some fucking bench presses. I have lost about... I've lost a little bit, but not a lot. Probably lost about 10 pounds as far as like what I can bench 5 times. Maybe 5 pounds. Anyway, I'm not throwing myself right back into the maximum weight I was doing when all this stopped. I'm about 10 pounds short of that right now, working my way back into it. Been doing bench presses most every day for the last week. And along with that, along with building up the muscles and, you know, and staying healthy so I don't die from Wuhan virus, which is killing all these old, unhealthy people. And we're not going to talk about Wuhan virus today, but I may do a podcast about the Wuhan virus in the future because I got a bunch of material. So we may be doing a Wuhan extravaganza, but that's not today. But the point is staying healthy, losing weight. Why, great one? So I can get the girls. But also because I'm a selfish bastard, much like a boomer, I'm a selfish bastard and I want to live forever. However, unlike the boomers, who think that they are going to live forever by destroying the economy and fucking everybody else over. That's somehow going to fucking siphon life into them and extend their lifespans, which it isn't. I intend to extend my lifespan by not being lazy, not being fat, not being out of shape, by having muscle mass, by eating nutritional food, and by also not pissing off people like myself who have guns. So in my endeavor to lose weight, because I'm not grossly obese or anything like that, but I got a little bit of fucking gut that needs to go away. As you know, I had talked about this. I was doing the restricted eating thing, where I was only eating between 1100 and 1900 hours each day. So after 1900 hours, no more food until 1100 hours the next day. Well, since I've talked about that, I then dropped it down even farther. So I did all of my eating, not quite all. There's some exceptions to everything I'm about to say on caloric intake. Outside of the boundaries of what I'm talking about right now, and we'll talk about it more, I drink tea, and I drink coffee, and I drink water, which are all, as far as I know, zero-calorie beverages. Now, however, outside of the framework I'm about to tell you about, I do take supplements, you know, the protein and the creatine and some other stuff, and some vitamins. And so all of that has some amount of calories to it. I have the bulletproof protein stuff that I've been doing for a while now that was recommended to me by a person. He uses it and blah, 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 blah. But anyhow, you know, I dump that in my coffee in the mornings. So there's some small amount of caloric intake into my body outside of what I'm about to talk about. But as far as food, any kind of food, anything that qualifies as food, which would be, you know, filet mignon, broccoli with garlic cheese sauce, chocolate cheesecake, ice cream. I got to the point where each day, all of my food was consumed during a 60-minute window. Now, it wasn't at the same time every day, but whenever, at whatever point, I just say, okay, this is what I'm going to cook and make the food, blah, blah, blah. So once I started eating, and this includes, here, this is the painful part. This includes beverages that have calories, which of course includes beer, wine, and the official drink of the Cynical Libertarian Society, the gin martini made with Plymouth gin. So there's only 1 hour during each day that I could eat food, to include chocolate, gummy bears, and drink alcohol. Well, I made it. I made it through that. I did that for a couple of weeks. I did not die. Felt like it a couple of times. Mostly, honest to God, it's like not being able to just go crack a beer whenever I feel like it. I'm just like, oh, every once in a while. But this is the thing. This is my point. Is you might say that, wow, that's kind of, or you might not. You might just say, great one, you're a giant fucking faggot. But you might be saying that, wow, that's really impressive that you could do that. I could never do something like that. And here's what I'm going to say to you is I'm going to say to you, you can, because first of all, you listen to this podcast. So unless you're Aaron Clary, who doesn't know anything about James Bond movies, you're one of the smartest people on the planet Earth. So you could do something like this. See, here's my theory. My theory is that if you give yourself a definitive framework, a definitive set of boundaries, and you say, okay, this is what I am going to do, you will be able to do it. If you just try to, because there is no try, there's do or do not, if you simply nebulously create this iffy thing, right? Then you can't adhere to something that is iffy. You need solidity. So the first phase was only eating from 1100 to 1900, right? That was solidity. Outside of those boundaries, no food. Okay, then the next phase was, okay, only eating in 1 hour each day. Not at the same hour, because there's no way in hell that, see, and being realistic, like the 11 to 1900, that was pretty realistic. Even with my fucking job and late hours, I could usually get food within there. There's a couple of times it was just impossible because I was working all day and I had to eat outside of that framework. So the 1 hour a day thing at whenever I decide that hour is. See, it's workable. It's a definitive boundary. You know, the way it works is as soon as I start eating, right, like before I take the first bite or drink or whatever, I have a timer. I hit the timer 60 minutes, bam, then I start eating. When the timer goes off, that's it. I'm finished. Now, if I have an alcoholic beverage that I haven't finished, when the timer goes off, I'll finish that. That's not a loophole. That doesn't mean you open the beer right before the timer goes off and take a drink and then try, oh, it's grandfathered in, right? It's just, if I haven't finished a fucking beer and there's, you know, half a beer left, I'm not going to throw it out. Because we are in a recession, goddammit. And alcohol is valuable. Well, so I did that for whatever, a couple of weeks. At the beginning of this month, we went into phase three. Phase three is that I eat food for a 1 hour time frame every other day. And that would be even numbered days. So you're saying, great one, wait a minute. Are you saying that you go approximately 47 hours without food, you eat for an hour, and then you go 47 hours without food, and then you eat for an hour? Yes, you are correct. You're correct because you're among the smartest people on the planet Earth, and hopefully I didn't have to explain that to you. That is exactly what I have been doing, and I have been spectacularly successful. I thought this was going to be very difficult. Not like I haven't gone without food before. The longest I have gone without food was 8 days. It was And that was actually not in the military. That was shortly after I got out. But in the military, I very frequently, it was nothing to go 4, 5, 6 days without food when we were out doing maneuvers. So it's not actually that big of a leap to go 47 hours-ish, because again, the 1 hour is not nailed down. The hour is whenever I get around to it. So I've been working with that also. So what I very quickly discovered is that if I eat the food later in the day, like in the evening, like say 5 p.m. or later, I immediately have this like energy crash right after I eat, and I'm completely fucking worthless. So what I've been doing the last 3 days that I've eaten food is that I've made a point to eat prior to, say, about 1300. And then after eating, I immediately go for a walk or a bike ride or something to get me out of the house and moving around. And that has maintained my energy levels so that I can be productive after eating. And you may have just heard my stomach growling. The hardest part of this has been, and it's not really that difficult other than the booze, but it's like, I go in there and I open the fridge to grab a water bottle because I keep my water bottles, my metal water bottles, not plastic. Don't drink out of plastic if you can avoid it. I don't give a shit what you heard about BPD free. Once again, if you're new to the podcast, I worked in biomedical research. I have seen the three-legged tadpoles that come from the chemicals that are in the plastic. This is not Alex Jones. Saw it with my own eyes. We did some research on the plastic shit. Don't drink out of fucking plastic. I don't give a shit what the fucking corporations tell you. Avoid putting your food in plastic as much as possible. I know you can't completely avoid it, but minimize it. I've seen the three-legged tadpoles, okay? Or don't believe me. See if I give a shit. I'm not your fucking mom. You want a mom? That's what the government is for, okay? The government is here to fucking keep you alive and protect you from viruses and fucking BPDs and plastic and shit, not me, okay? That's not why I'm here. The fuck was I talking about before I started ranting about the government? Water. So I open up the fridge to grab a water bottle. And there in the fridge, that's where I keep my chocolate, right? Got the chocolate there, got the little Girardia chocolate squares. And there's this local company that makes peanut butter cups, you know, like Reese's peanut butter cups, but they're made with dark chocolate and the peanut butter is better. And I love those fucking things. And they're there in the fridge because I keep my chocolate in the fridge. So I'm open up the fridge and I reach down to grab the water bottle, cold water. And right there, there's the chocolate and there's the beer. And see, normally, and this is the thing, because you got all the fat people, they say, well, I can't help it. I can't help eating. No, you can help eating. I understand the concept of, oh, you go in the kitchen and you open up the thing and I'm going to grab a water bottle. It's like, oh, there's the chocolate. And I just grab a couple of pieces of chocolate and eat it. Well, if I grab 2 pieces of chocolate every fucking time I go to the fridge to get another cold bottle of water, guess how much chocolate and calories I eat in one fucking day? So you can help it. You just have to fucking stop. And you do this partially, to bring this back to meditation, by being self-aware, by practicing mindfulness. When I first started doing this, I really had to practice the mindfulness when I was in the kitchen preparing the food. Because when else do you just unthinkingly, and this is a problem when people do things unthinkingly, and I'm not above this, I do things unthinkingly all the fucking time. This is my point. You do things unthinkingly. But if you utilize mindfulness and pull your head out of your ass, you can stop doing things unthinkingly. For example, you can stop relying on the government to protect you from a virus. You can stop unthinkingly believing that the government gives a shit about you? Because you're just a cow. You're just one fucking cow. And one tax cattle is just like another tax cattle to the government. If you die, they can import some more tax cattle from another country. Now, see, I'm practicing mindfulness right now because I realized that I was tangenting. See, oh, no, great one, no. Zen, you're not talking about the state. You're talking about something more important. You're talking about yourself. You're talking about the thing that everybody cares about, you. No one cares about the fucking government, great one. They care about you. That's why they're here. And if you ever get your, oh God, I'll bitch, if I have time, I'll bitch about that. If you ever get the donations thing set up, they could send you some money to prove they care about you. But no, I gotta wait on other people, cause other people, the fucking other people. If it wasn't for other people, do you know how much more fucking shit I would get done? Because I wouldn't constantly be fucking bottlenecked and held back by other people's stupidity? And we'll talk about that if I can get to it. Because God damn it, am I fucking tired of stupid people. And I'm not talking about the government. So when you're in the kitchen and you're preparing your food, right? You're like chopping up the broccoli. Put in the freaking baking dish to bake the broccoli. I've been doing a lot more baking lately also, as far as, because usually I take my veggies and, you know, whatever, and I just throw them in the pan and I fry them with the meat. It's just, you know, my shorthand cooking. You throw everything in a pan and you can kind of fry it together and it's edible. It's not gourmet. You're not going to win any fucking awards. I'm not trying to win awards. I'm trying to eat. So I started doing more baking now of my veggies, doing like the broccoli and the onion and the carrots, and then some green olives and some black olives, and you put all that in just the baking pan, and you put some olive oil on it, and you toss it around, throw some spices in there, bake that for 40, 45 minutes, whatever, bam, yummy-licious. And of course, meat, dead animal also, but the dead animal I cook on the stovetop. But say you're cutting up your broccoli, right? What's more natural than to just take a piece of broccoli and toss it in your mouth and eat it? But see, if I do that, the 60-minute time frame in which I can eat has to begin then. It's so while I'm preparing the food, I have to be very mindful of what I'm doing so I don't just instinctively, unthinkingly pop something into my mouth. That's what she said. And the first time I had to do that, It was really rough because I'm sitting there paying attention to myself. And it wasn't difficult. That's not really the right way to say it. It wasn't rough. It was enlightening how many times I could feel the impulse to just put a piece of food in my mouth and I just stop it. It's like, whoa, no, don't eat the piece of broccoli. You know, and it's like, oh, no, don't eat that olive. It's like, oh, and then don't eat that carrot. Oh, and then peppers, the red peppers, the yellow peppers, the orange peppers. I love peppers too. Put that in my little mix there and bake it. So, you know, you chop it up the orange pepper and you just take a slice and just eat it. It's like, oh, don't do that. So anyhow, when some fucking fat person tells you that they're fat because they just can't help themselves, this is right up there, the alcohol, I just can't help myself. I can't stop myself from drinking. I can't stop myself from smoking. Well, you're an idiot. You can stop yourself from eating, drinking, smoking, voting Democrat, going to college for stupid shit, not listening to my podcast. You can stop yourself from doing all these stupid things. You can. All you have to do is put the tiniest fucking amount of effort into it. So speaking of eating and food, I have a cookbook. I actually have a bunch of cookbooks, but I have a cookbook that's all about cheesecakes. Because the great one loves cheesecake. Oh, man. See, and this is why I have the little fucking spare tire. By the way, you're saying, well, great one, have you lost any weight? Well, I don't actually have a scale. because I'm not interested in numbers. I'm just interested in appearance. So it's like, well, great one. If you look at yourself in the mirror, have you lost any weight? A little bit. There's a small difference, but we still got a ways to go. Don't you worry, kids. Great one. Cannot call this a fantastic success yet. I'll let you know how it goes. The great one loves cheesecake. Oh, man. I eat cheesecake till I vomit. So I got this recipe book. It's all cheesecake recipes. I have had this book. Hold on.
That was the wrong place to put the coffee cup right there. Let's not put that there.
Right before starting this podcast, I almost spilled coffee on one of my hard drives. And you would say, great one, shouldn't the hard drive be in the computer? No, I use external docs. I have a bunch of external hard drives. Anyhow, this cookbook came out in 2007. It's only relevant, I mean, it's cooking, it's not like it goes out of date, but it's relevant because I'm pretty sure I've probably had that cookbook since about 2007. I know I've had it at least 10 years. Never made a recipe out of it. Never actually made a cheesecake in my life. So I thought, you know what? The time is here. I'm going to make a fucking cheesecake. I got a lot of time. It's going to be a fun project. And I don't know if I've mentioned this before or not, but the great one likes cheesecake. If you ever want to bribe, here's how you bribe the great one. Get a redhead wearing a Supergirl outfit to come up to me with a gin martini made with Plymouth gin and a cheesecake. Whatever you want, it's yours. Whatever you want. So I'm going to make a cheesecake. So I'm reading through this and reading about the process, and it's the making of the crust is overly complex. It's probably not really overly, but you know, you got to separate the eggs and you got to do this and you got to do that. I'm like, God damn. And the book is written in sort of paragraph form as opposed to a more formulaic format that I would prefer for recipes. Like if I'm trying to follow a recipe as I'm doing it, I don't want to have to read and interpret, you know, sentences and paragraphs, right? It's not a novel. I want bullet point, step-by-step instructions that are laid out linearly is what I would prefer. But it is what it is. You adapt and you overcome. You know, like a jarhead. Speaking of jarheads, I'm watching the TV series Baba Black Sheep on the DVDs from the Netflix. Oh man, guys, did you know? I know a lot of you guys are really behind the curve. I'm very technologically advanced compared to most of you. So, you know, Netflix, where you can get those DVDs delivered to you in the mail, did you know that for an extra $4 a month, instead of just one DVD at a time, you can have two DVDs at a time? I have upgraded, and now I've never seen such technological progress as having two DVDs at once, because now while I'm watching one, the other one is going back to Netflix, and then they're sending me another one. So I have this constant pool of DVDs that I can watch. It's amazing. It's like the latest in technology. I mean, what are they going to think of next? I mean, one day there'll probably be this thing where the TV show would just show up on your TV over some magic thing called the internet or something. But that's not going to happen. I'm never going to use that because I'm old. So anyhow, watching Baba Black Sheep. Yeah, watched the first disc yesterday. What does that have to do with cheesecake? I don't know. Anyhow, doesn't matter. So I go through and I read the instructions about how to make the crust, which is this very elaborate process, and then make the filling. I'm going to do a chocolate cheesecake, and there's like the glaze on top and shit. Look, I'm not doing the glaze on top. Let me just do the basic fucking the crust, and that's the cheesecake part. Let me do one and get it right and figure it out before I try to get all fancy schmancy, right? I'm just going to eat the fucking thing. It's not that big of a deal. It doesn't have to look good. So I buy all the stuff for it, which cost a fucking fortune. Not really. It wasn't that bad. So anyhow, yesterday? No, it was the day before yesterday. It was a non-eating day because you got to refrigerate it and freeze it and all this other stuff. So I'm like, I'll make it the day I'm not eating, which again, so it's a day I can't eat at all. I'm making a cheesecake. I got chocolate in front of me and all this other stuff. What do? You stick your finger in the batter and you lick it, right? So no, I had to be paying attention to my actions, so I didn't do that. It's called mindfulness. It's how you stop drinking. It's how you stop smoking. It's how you stop being a douchebag. It's how you stop being fat. I mean, unless you're a woman, because if you're a woman, you don't have self-awareness. That's why you're fat. And that's why you can't figure out where all the good men went. Men went. Also, briefly tangent, part of my mission for today is I'm poking around on OkCupid to see if there's anything, you know, viable. And then once it just never ceases to amaze me, the number of women, and some of them are actually attractive, the number of women I see on OkCupid who are 35 and up and are saying they might want to have children one day. Do you women really have that little self-awareness? Do you women, despite believing in science and global warming, are you really that unaware of biology? The answer is you are. And you know what's worse than that? Is that cucks have decided that you should be allowed to vote, and then the cucks can't figure out why society's going to shit. Cucks can't figure out why everybody's hiding indoors and wearing magic cloth over their faces to protect them from viruses. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about cheesecake. So, okay, the moment has come. And I got to buy the pan. I mean, you don't have to, but if you have a springform pan, it's a lot easier. So I had to go buy a springform pan. The day comes, 2 days ago, I'm going to make the cheesecake. Started early in the morning, well, not too early, but early-ish, like about 0900, which is a good thing that I did because it took a while. Because I had to decipher the instructions. So we go through it. The first thing, you make the crust. So you make the crust and you put the crust in the bottom of the pan. You cook the crust for like 10 minutes. Then you pull that out. Then you're going to put the cake batter on top of that. So to make the crust, you have to separate the egg whites from the egg yolks. Now, look, like I said, I'm not a master chef, but I have cooked in the past. Okay, I am competent at cooking stuff. But one thing I have never done is have to separate eggs. I've never made anything. If the recipes ever said I had to separate the eggs, I just didn't do it. So I'm like, all right, I'm doing this right. I got to separate the eggs. Never separated eggs before in my life. So wasn't really sure how to do that without fucking it up. Figured it out. Used slotted spoons. Worked great. I was thinking I was going to totally fuck up the first couple of eggs, but I didn't. So I separate out my eggs. And I start going through the process. Also, by the way, with the water, not in every bottle of water I drink, but in some of them, dump a little bit of salt in there just to keep the salt levels and everything going. Not a shit ton. You don't want so much salt in your salt water. It makes you vomit. Doing like a quarter teaspoon of salt in, I don't know, whatever size water bottle this is that's in my hand right now. Is this 16 ounces? I don't fucking know. But you want to just keep a little bit of salt. And if you're going to, like, if you're saying, wow, if the great one can do it and he's a giant goddamn pussy, that means I could do it. If you're thinking about going down a similar path, put some salt in your water. So I start going through the instructions, the paragraph-like storytelling instructions. It's like, okay, so you take the egg whites and you put this in there and you put that in there. It's like, okay, and you're blending and you're beating. Okay, it says, you know, and beat it until the streaks of yellow go away. And I'm going, oh, I don't really see any yellow. Why would it be yellow? But okay, what I'm beating. And I do all the stuff. It's great. Okay, I'm finished with that side. I set that aside and I get the next bowl. And I read the thing and it says, now take the egg whites and do this. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. I just did the egg whites. What the fuck are you talking about? So I go back up a paragraph and I read the paragraph, and the paragraph I just did doesn't say take the egg whites and do this. It says take the egg yolks and do this. I'm like, God damn it. So that's where the yellow was supposed to come from. So I'm like, fuck. So I gotta start all over. And I just fucked that up royally. So start all over. This time I do the right thing with the egg yolks and I do the right thing with the egg whites. And you know, you do it separately, then you put them together. I don't know why you can't just put it all together in the first place, but I'm sure there's a reason for it. I'm not going to overthink it. I'm just going to do what the fucking instructions say. All right, the crust is done. Bam. Now I get to the next part. Now we're going to make the cake batter for the cake, the chocolate cheesecake part. Pull this out. I'm going through it. And that's when I realize, God damn it. The fucking cream cheese is supposed to be at room temperature. The cream cheese is on the fucking fridge. So I got to pull the cream cheese out of the fridge. And I'm sitting there. It's like, okay, you want to get your ass to room temperature anytime now? Now, you ever notice how, like, if you have food, right? You make some food. And it's supposed to be served chilled, like ice cream or whatever. And you take it out of the freezer or the fridge or whatever. And how fast it just assumes room temperature. And starts tasting like shit because it's not cold anymore. But when you need food to assume room temperature. No, like 2 hours later, I go in there and I pick up the chunk of cream cheese. And it's still fucking cold as hell, like it just came out of the refrigerator. Like, what am I supposed to do? Put it under my fucking armpit or something? So finally, the cream cheese gets close enough to room temperature. Then I'm just like, fuck it, it's close enough. I'm going to make this happen because I would like to finish this project today. Because I would like to eat the cheesecake tomorrow. So I get it made, get the batter made, put the batter in there, put the cheesecake in the oven, cook it. It's looking good, man. Oh my God, it's looking fucking sexy. It's all smooth on top and chocolatey and cheesecake looking. And I'm like, oh man, I'm fucking proud of myself. God damn. Pull that fucker out and it looks fucking awesome. It's like, all right, put it in the fridge. Yeah. Well, no, you're like, cool first. You know, pull it out of the oven and stick it in the fridge. So you let it cool for at least 2 hours. Put it in the oven. It's looking great. Next day, I go in there and check it. Boom. Oh, whew, cheesecake. Fucking A. Looking good, bitch. Chocolate fucking cheesecake. I got some raspberries. Got some chocolate cheesecake. Shit, man. I'm almost ready to jack off. This is so exciting. I'm reaching down in the fridge. I'm going to grab the cheesecake. I got to put the cheesecake in the freezer for at least 1 hour. So I'm going to put the cheesecake in the freezer for an hour. And I glance over in the fridge. And sitting there in the fridge is the carton of cream, which I had purchased to make the cheesecake. Problem is, the carton of cream is unopened, which means I did not put the cream in the cheesecake. So I'm like, God damn it. Like, no wonder the fucking cheesecake batter was so goddamn thick. I was supposed to have put 1 1/3 cups of cream in the fucking cheesecake batter. Well, you know, once you've committed, you just keep going. There's no turning back. So anyhow, yesterday, I cut the cheesecake. The cheesecake is very thick. The cheesecake is very dense. But you know what? It's not terrible. I'm thinking that maybe next time, if I put the fucking cream in it like I'm supposed to, I think it's going to be a lot better. That was a hell of an adventure, and I am going to have another shot at making another cheesecake, but I mean, I'm going to eat this one first, as big as it is. It's a 9-inch pan. I mean, as much cheesecake as I've got. This, and considering that I eat every other day, man, I tell you what, dude, my grocery bill has sharply plummeted. I really have to reevaluate my shopping habits, obviously, when I go grocery shopping. And then the next phase of this, so phase four, is right now, even though I'm only eating every 47 hours-ish, I'm still eating an awful lot of food. Like, I looked at what I consumed yesterday, and I am not bullshitting you. I ate enough food that I could have probably fed, I could have fed three people. Because I can fucking eat. That's why I have a gut, right? I'm not like these fat people. I can't figure out why I'm fat as they shove another fucking Kentucky Fried Chicken drumstick in their mouth, right? I'm not baffled as to why I have a little bit of extra weight on my stomach. It's not a fucking mystery. So phase four is to reduce my portion size. And I don't think this is going to be that difficult either, because here's something I've started to notice. Eating food is actually starting to become something of a burden. Like, I kind of look forward to it. Like, yesterday I got up and I'm like, yes, today is an eating day. I'm going to eat today. It's going to be awesome. I got my cheesecake. I'm going to have some food. I'm planning out my meals better now, right? Because I only get one meal, 1 hour. I'm not just going to throw some shit together. It's going to be something good. So I'm feeling very excited about eating food. But then I actually eat the food and it's almost more of an inconvenience than anything else. And I've realized that eating food is a whole lot like talking to girls. I mean, you build it up in your mind and you think it's going to be fucking awesome, but then you actually do it and it's just an inconvenience. It's just annoying. It's just a pain in the ass. And to a very large extent, and the more and more you think about it, the more and more you realize you really could just live without it.